Good morning to you, and Merry Christmas to you. Today is the day. Will you turn to Isaiah chapter 7, please? Isaiah chapter 7. We began Advent 5 weeks ago. Four weeks ago. We began with Isaiah 7, and now we will go back to Isaiah on Christmas today, on Christmas Day. Today, we celebrate a child and we honor a son that was given. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 5 says, "A child is born to us, a son is given to us." In Hebrew, the stress of these lines is not on "to us," it is on a child and a son. The people of God desperately need help. Leaders are failing, leading the people into trouble. And what would God's people do? Could they be rescued? Yes, says God through Isaiah. Yes, a dawn is coming. A bright morning is coming. And the answer is a child, a baby boy. A child is born to us. A son is given to us. This baby is the answer. The government will rest on his shoulders. To us? To whom exactly? So we'll go back to chapter 7, verse 4. We need to talk about "to us." We'll go back to Isaiah 7 to pick up the story to find out who the "us" is. In Isaiah 7, King Ahaz, king of Judah, descendant of David, was worried about two other kings. These two other kings and their armies had attacked him recently and been very hard on his nation of Judah, and then had gone home. And now Ahaz hears that these two are planning to attack Judah again. And the hearts of Ahaz and his people, it says, were shaken, as the trees of the forest are shaken by the wind. That's in chapter 7, verse 2. Ahaz and all of Judah are terrified at what will happen if these two kings will come again. It will cause even more suffering, and it was bad enough last time. But King Ahaz has a plan to take care of this. He will get together all the gold and silver he can collect, and he will take it to the king of Assyria, the superpower, and he will pay the Assyrians to destroy the two kings he fears. Isaiah thinks that's a good plan. But it's a terrible plan, because the Assyrians are terrible people. And furthermore, although these two kings that Ahaz fears are indeed planning to attack Judah, God says that they will have other problems and they never will attack. God says, "Ahaz, the attack you fear will never take place." Here's the core of God's words to Ahaz, and I'm reading from Isaiah 7, verses 4 and 9. "Ahaz, be careful to keep calm, and don't be afraid. Do not lose heart. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all." What mattered here was not how frightened Ahaz felt. What mattered was his choice. Would his choice show that he trusted God? But Ahaz had already decided he would not trust God. He would follow his plan to hire the Assyrians, even though God warned him not to do that. And most of Judah agreed with Ahaz that this was the right thing to do. So then we'll go to the warning and the instruction in chapter 8. We'll go to Isaiah 8, where God takes the prophet Isaiah aside and has a crucial talk with Isaiah. This is God's stern warning about what Isaiah himself must not do. It is a warning and an instruction. Isaiah 8:11. "This is what the Lord says to me, with his strong hand on me, warning me not to follow the way of this people." Here's God's warning. "Do not call conspiracy everything this people calls a conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear, and do not dread it." And here's the instruction. "The Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. He will be your holy place." Ahaz and his people, the nation of Judah, were living in a time of fear, an age of anxiety. I think probably a lot of human history takes place in times of general anxiety. We are definitely in a time of anxiety now about climate change and war and economy and the next pandemic and crime and who knows what all scares us. Ahaz and Judah were in a time of anxiety, and this included Isaiah and those who were faithful to God. So God put his strong hand on Isaiah himself, and he warned him, "Don't you be like them, Isaiah. Don't you dare fear what they fear, or dread what they dread. That would be your downfall. You just worry about me. You just draw near to me. You put your trust in me." When I'm afraid and I picture what I fear, I don't put God in the picture. He's not really there. It's just me and the scary thing. This offends God. He is always in the picture, and not only in the picture, but he's the most important part of that picture. And God warned Isaiah, and he warns you and me not to forget this. God told Ahaz and Isaiah very much the same thing. God told Ahaz, be careful to keep calm and don't be afraid. Don't lose heart. If you don't stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. God told Isaiah, don't fear what they fear. Don't dread it. The Lord Almighty shall be your fear. It's very much the same message. Treasure it. Chapter 8, verse 16. God ends that section with this verse. Bind up this testimony of warning and seal up God's instruction among my disciples. This testimony of warning is what we just read in verses 12 and 14. Don't call conspiracy what this people calls conspiracy. Don't fear it. The Lord Almighty you should regard as holy. Let him be your fear. That's the testimony of warning and the instruction. So God says, bind it up and seal it. That means guard this warning and this instruction. Treasure it, keep it, and never lose it. Take good care of this warning and this instruction. So this warning began with God's strong hand on Isaiah, and it ends with God telling Isaiah to guard it, to treasure it, to keep it, and never lose it. So this warning and instruction, don't fear what they fear. You just draw near to me and look at me and watch me. Isaiah's right choice is in chapter 8, verse 17. This is how Isaiah responded to God's strong hand. I will wait for the Lord who is hiding his face from the descendants of Jacob. I will put my trust in him. Ahaz made the wrong choice. He would not rest in God's hands. Isaiah made the right choice. I will wait for the Lord who is hiding his face. I will put my trust in him. That's what it looks like when we decide that the Lord Almighty shall be our fear. In Isaiah 9, the child that is born, the son that is given, is for people like Isaiah, not for people like Ahaz. That's where this is going today. Did you notice God talk about my disciples? Bind up this testimony of warning and seal God's instruction among my disciples. The child is for those, for that group, those who treasure this warning and instruction. And that is us who have decided to live our lives in this way. In chapter 8, verse 20, God warns us again. He's talking to us. He says, consult God's instruction and the testimony of warning. If anyone does not speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn. Listen, there are going to be dark times for everyone, those who trust in God and those who do not. For the people who inquire of God, for the people who listen to God's instructions, for those who are God's disciples, there will be mourning. There will eventually be the light of dawn. A great light will shine. For the others, there is no dawn or morning. They will have no light of dawn. And now we get to the breakthrough, which is what we're celebrating on Christmas. The light dawns in the darkness in chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. And what is the light? Verse 6. For a child is born to us. A son is given to us. Try to feel Isaiah's own surprise that the answer to the deep darkness would be a baby boy. God's dawn and great light would be a baby boy. Isaiah and all God's disciples are trusting in God and waiting, even though God, as far as they were concerned, God was hiding his face from Judah. But when the light came, it would be a baby boy. A child is born to us. A son is given to us. To us, it says twice. Who is that? It's the people who, when they're afraid, they put their trust in God. We do this. We put our trust in God because he knows about the things that frighten us and he cares about us. And we believe, as God told Ahaz, that God knows what's scaring us and he's taking care of things. That makes us God's disciples. The child is born to us and the son is given to us. And the government will be on his shoulders. I'm going to read those two, the whole two verses here, 6 and 7. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Here are the two government lines. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. This baby will become the ultimate world ruler. He will be the best, and it will last forever. Remember that the sequence began with the failure of Ahaz, the failure of the house of David, the failure of the line of David. That is, the failure of government, even within the people of God, even in God's chosen line of kings. Government failed. God responded by giving us a baby boy. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We'll look at each one of these a little bit. Wonderful Counselor means supernatural counselor, miraculous advisor. When we wonder what to do, would it not be good to have an advisor who always gave us the best possible advice, who always gave us the right advice? God gave Solomon the gift of wisdom. So in that sense, Solomon had supernatural wisdom. In Matthew 12, Jesus said, the queen of the south will condemn the Jews because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and someone greater than Solomon was there. Wonderful Counselor, always the best possible advice. Mighty God. Mighty God means the mighty God against the angel, against the nations. Mighty God against the nations is no contest. Later in Isaiah, we read that to God, all the nations altogether are a drop in the bucket. If this prince decides to rule the nations, that's how it will be. Government will not be a problem because he is mighty God himself. Everlasting Father. I had a good father. He was gentle and he followed God. He listened to us and he talked to us. He was faithful. He took care of us. The trouble with good fathers is that they don't last forever. Unless we die young, we will say goodbye to them, and they will be taken from us. This baby will become a good father who lasts forever. He will do all the things that ideal fathers do for their children whom they love, but we will never say goodbye, and he will never be taken from us. That's what kind of government he will have, everlasting father. Prince of Peace. In our language, peace means calm, tranquil, no conflict, quiet and serene. In the Old Testament, peace is a little different. In Hebrew, peace means complete and full and healthy. It means everything is going well. It can mean successful and prosperous, but mostly just complete and full and good. And the New Testament means peace in the same way. So the Prince of Peace does mean there will be no conflict, but mostly it means full and complete. Life under the Prince of Peace will probably be lively and full and sometimes noisy, but everything will be going the way it is supposed to. And that's what Prince of Peace means. This child is for us who treasure God's warnings and instructions. We are resolved not to panic at the stories that frighten people around us. We will not view those warnings of danger as the great danger. We will understand that the only great danger when we are frightened is to ignore God and turn away from God. That we must not do. So we will never picture the danger without putting God in the middle of the picture. We will turn our frightened eyes to God to trust him and wait for him, to obey him and serve him, because he's the most important one in every frightening picture. This scripture is for us. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Amen. Let's pray. Today, Lord Almighty, this day in particular, we remember the day the child was born, the day the son was given. We remember the day that the light dawned, the day a great light began to shine on people walking in darkness. Thank you, O Lord, and thank you. You kept an old promise, and we are among those who were walking in deep darkness, and now we have seen the light. We praise you for the child that was born and the son that was given, and we long for the zeal of the Lord Almighty to finish this up. Amen. Will you rise, please, for the benediction? Now to you, O God, who are able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to your power that is at work within us, to you be glory in the Church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Go in God's peace to love and serve the Lord. Merry Christmas. You are dismissed.